the giants fell. Praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Yes, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, through many dangers, toil and snare, I have already come. Oh, 'tis grace that brought me safe thus far. Oh, and His grace will lead me home. Oh, yes, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind, but now I see. Oh, yes, it's amazing. Oh, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm I was blind, but now I see. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Yeah, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. For it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Thank God. That saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Y'all, just let's lift Him up. Let's just magnify Him for a few moments. Come on, He's worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you're amazing. Your love and mercy is amazing, God. Your goodness is everlasting. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, amen, turn to Acts chapter 11, beginning verse 1. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. Follow along, whatever you have. Soon the news reached the apostles, and the other believers in Judea and the Gentiles had received that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. "You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them," they said. Then Peter told them exactly what had happened. "I was in the town of Joppa," he said, "and while I was praying, I went into a trance and saw a vision. Something like a great sheet was let down by its four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I looked inside the sheet, I saw all sorts of tame and wild animals, reptiles, and birds. And I heard a voice say, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat. Eat them.' 'No, Lord,' I replied. 'I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean.' But the voice from heaven spoke again, 'Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.' This happened three times before the sheet and all it contained was pulled back up into heaven. Just then, three men who had been sent from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry that they were Gentiles. These six brothers here accompanied me, and we soon entered the home of the man who had sent for us. And he told us how an angel had appeared to him in his home and had told him, 'Send messengers to Joppa and summons a man named Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and everyone in your household can be saved.' And as I began to speak, Peter continued, 'The Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" And when the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. And they said, "We can see that God has also given the Gentiles privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life." And aren't you glad today that that happened? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing all to enter into your kingdom. Amen. I'm a living testimony tonight of that wonderful happening. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we pray tonight, God, that you would speak through your word, minister and touch the lives of your people, God, that we can go out and reach every lost soul that you put before us, God, and that we can tell everyone, everybody, about your loving kindness and forgiveness and remission of sins, and God, the infilling of your spirit into their life, God. Lord, this message is for everybody. Help us to be about your business. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You can be seated. Talking tonight about tearing down the wall. Amen. There's been a lot of talk about the walls, amen, lately in our news. Hallelujah. But walls hinder people. No matter what kind of, whether it's a physical wall, spiritual wall, natural wall, just walls that we put up in our lives can cause big problems. Some of you here tonight probably have walls up where only you'll let people get so close to you. No farther. You're only coming this, just saying hi to me at church or whatever, that's as close as you're going to get to me. Because I've been hurt, I've been whatever, you know. Those are walls, amen. Walls that protect houses, walls that protect, you know, communities. Walls that create, stop the sound, supposedly, from going over them. Amen. All kinds of walls. But these walls tonight we're talking about are prejudices. Things that, you know, people that we don't want in our life. People that we're not used to in our life. People that maybe don't look like us or have the same color as us. Walls that we can put up. So not quite 20 centuries ago, a single event in history of the church caused considerable stir among its leaders in Jerusalem. This story of this sheet being dropped down because God had a plan. He wanted the apostle to go to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen. This gospel wasn't meant just for one kind. Amen. God's plan was for all mankind, for the blood to wash every man's sin from their wicked ways. Amen. This is the kind of God we serve, a God that loves everybody. Amen. Church leaders called Peter to give detailed report and came together to consider the matter. It was important, but it was doubtful. They were fully aware of the vast implications of what had happened in Caesarea. From the vantage point of time, we realize the importance of what happened in the home of Cornelius, a Gentile. Amen. We realize it because that's who we are. We're a Gentile nation. When the word reached the apostles and the brethren in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God, they were in awe, just amazed. Wow. They literally thought that they were the only ones that God had come to reach, to deliver, amen, to set free. And when it came to their mind that, hey, God has chosen another nation here to reach with this gospel, this thing is bigger than we are, amen. This church is bigger than we are, amen. This church is reaching every lost kind, amen, every nation under heaven. Amen. Is this gospel reaches to every soul. They were hostile and indignant. They could not accept the idea of eating with Gentiles. It was not their custom. It was not their upbringing. Amen. There are certain of us that was brought up not to have company with certain colors of people. Amen. It was put within us through our upbringing. Don't marry these type people. Don't go visiting or don't go having them over for dinner or don't do these things. But God has better plans. God has bigger plans. Amen. God does not see color. Amen. They're all precious in His sight. Amen. Red, yellow, black, white, all in between. Amen. He don't see color. Amen. All he sees when he sees you is if you've got the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, that blood that has cleansed your sin. Amen. He has set you free. Amen. Granted, there are cultural differences among us. Amen. Even in this room, we have different cultures, but we still bleed red. Amen. Our blood bleeds the same. Amen. We are still human beings that breathe life, breath. Amen. And God sees you that way. He don't see anything else. Just like he had planned back here in this time. They demanded the explanation from Peter, and he narrated the events of his visit to the house of Cornelius. And upon the conclusion of his defense, all were convinced. I pray tonight that you're convinced that God loves everybody.
That's
right. Amen. Hallelujah. God loves the east side of Cleveland. Amen. God loves Cincinnati down south. Amen. God loves New York. Amen. Where all kinds of mess goes on. It's sin that changes our hearts and minds, and right. And sin that separates us, and it's sin that allows these crazy things to happen that cause us to think the way we think. But we need to reevaluate our thinking. Amen. And make sure our thinking is Christ oriented. Amen. That we think His way. When the others heard in Acts 11:18, it says, when the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. And they said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. We must be able to share the gospel with black men, amen, yellow men, whatever color you want to think of tonight, amen. They're God's people. And God cares about them. Amen. And we ought to reach them. God brought together Jews and Gentiles. He didn't draw a line and say, yeah, you're right, don't do that. No, He opened it up. He opened the door for whosoever will. Let him come. Cornelius seems to stand out among his contemporaries. In Acts 10:2, he and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. This man had something going on with God. He had a relationship with God already. He knew the creator of heaven. Amen. He knew who this Jesus was. And he was praying and seeking him and trying to find him, trying to draw close to him, trying to want more of and do the things that he required. Amen. He was doing those things with all of his might, all of his soul. Amen. God will lead people to him if they're hungry. He said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Amen. God will fill those that are hungry and wanting more of Him. When even with all these credentials, Cornelius was not saved. He believed. He was a giver. He was faithful. He was doing everything that a Christian ought to be doing. But he needed more. He needed the plan of salvation in his life. Amen. This is not a hard thing for us to see, because we have received the gospel of Jesus Christ. But a sinner that's lost, the Bible says they are blinded to the truth. So we must be careful when we are talking with a sinner that we just don't slam them upside the head with the word of God and say, "Can't you see? He needed to be saved." We must be cunning and use knowledge and take time with people and show them the truth in bits and pieces so that they can get an understanding. And the Bible says to pray that their eyes are open. Amen. The worst thing we can do with a sinner is slap standards upside their head. Well, the first thing you gotta do is start wearing a dress, and you gotta cut your hair, not cut your hair no more, and you gotta come to church faithfully, and blah, 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 on down the line. Right. Yep. Amen? Yep. We gotta get them saved first. Right. Jesus Christ will clean them up. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Because they're gonna watch your life. They're gonna watch your discipleship. Amen? And you're going to be an example to them. Cornelius loved the Lord with all of his heart. In Acts 10:4, the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Hallelujah. I wonder how many of us apostolics got that kind of memorial before God. Our prayers and our offerings come up before a memorial before God. Wow. Amen. That's a testimony of a man that's hungry for God. He sees this great and mighty God can change his life, and he wants to do all that is within him to love that God. Amen. That's what our mind arrow needs to be pointed at. Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Amen. When we get our minds off of him, we get it onto all of our troubles and all of our trials and all of our tests, and things get array in our life, get out of whack in our life. Keep your mind on Jesus. Let his word guide you. Amen. Have a relationship with God. God will draw you to greater truths. Amen. Through the word, amen, just like he did Cornelius. He loved Cornelius, so he sent him the way. He sent him the death, the burial, the resurrection, the plan of salvation through men. Amen. This plan always comes through a man. Amen. That's why it's important to have a man of God in your life. Amen. That is the plan of God. God chose men, amen, to carry the gospel. And it is important that we listen and obey men and hear their voice if they're preaching the word of God. Don't listen to someone if they're not showing you the word. Amen. And that word lines up with scriptures, not just one doctrine, one scripture. Amen. This doctrine that we believe, we can go all through the scripture and show you the plan of salvation. The Old Testament shows the plan of salvation. The New Testament, all the way through, teaches the plan of salvation. We have the truth. Right. Amen? And the truth will set you free tonight. Hallelujah. There's one gospel for all. Amen? He tore down the wall.
Right.
That this gospel is not limited by any race. Amen. It's for whosoever will. If you desire to know more of God, the gospel plan will get you there. It will open the door so that you can have access to his throne room. Amen. Mark 15, 37 and 38 in the NIV, it says, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in from top to bottom. Amen. This occurrence signified that the way to God was open to every person. He split it. Opened up the access. Before, all that could enter was the priesthood. And they were the only ones that could go beyond the curtain. The Jewish priesthood. But when Christ died on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Amen. Amen. Opening the access to his presence. Amen. If you go through the blood, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, you can enter into his presence. Amen. And you can have communion with Jesus Christ. That's why we don't go to the priest and confess our sins and tell the man that what we've done and blah, 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 blah. Because the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one that we can go directly to and get our things taken care of.
Yeah.
Now, it does say that if you're overtaken in faults and you can't get control of over something, it says to confess your faults one with another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can have those sins forgiven. And God, through the help of your brother or sister, can help tear down some strongholds in your life. Amen. But for sin, we can go straight to God in an altar or wherever you make an altar to God in your life and call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ can wash them things away, cleansing you. Amen. That's how we can live victorious lives. Amen. It's through the blood. Amen. When you got the blood of Jesus Christ applied, his presence is powerful. Amen. His anointing is powerful. God's Spirit cleanses those things out of our life, and we don't have to worry about them in us anymore. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us, has touched our lives and taken those sins out of our lives. Amen. God's grace and mercy never fails. Ephesians 2, 14 and 6 through 16. It says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the laws, the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in the body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. This truth was not revealed to the early church until Cornelius and his household received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When they heard them speaking with tongues, just like they did a few days, months earlier, they heard the very same thing, their mouths speaking a language that they knew they didn't know. Amen? Just like they received. That's what brought the amazement. That's what brought this... they were probably just almost like unbelievable.
Right.
These Gentiles. this group of people that we're not supposed to have anything to do with, here they are, got the same experience that we just received. That Jesus Christ told us himself to go receive.
Right.
Now here this group of people is receiving it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God that he didn't hold it just for a select few. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful that he didn't hold it just for the apostles on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Amen. That's a lie. I don't care what anybody tells you. That is a lie from hell. This gospel has continued. Amen. From the day of Pentecost. Amen. He said to all that are afar off. How far is afar off? Amen. Well, I don't think they've found all the galaxies yet, so it's still going. Amen. Till life ends here on earth, this gospel is for anybody that's on this earth. Amen. God is reaching everybody with the gospel. So it doesn't matter if they're a drunkard, if they're a dope addict, amen, if they're lost in sexual sin of any kind, it doesn't matter. The gospel is for them.
Amen.
Amen. The gospel's the only thing that'll change them.
Right.
Amen. The truth of the word of God, the death of repentance, turning your lifestyle around, turning your heart around, and being baptized in Jesus' name and letting his spirit take control in your life is the only thing that will turn the deepest, darkest sinner around. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how death row inmates in the deepest, darkest prisons in Tennessee can give their lives to Jesus Christ and God rescue them out and take them and turn them into apostolic preachers preaching the gospel. Amen. Because the cross is powerful. His love is powerful. It goes to every corner of the world and reaches every soul. There are no favorites. You're all favorites in his eyes. Amen. We are all created equal in God's eyes. Amen. We're not bigger and smaller and all in between. God loves everybody. Amen. He's got a power, an anointing for your life, and he wants to use you. Amen. He wants to do mighty things in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Acts 10, 30 through 33, New Living Translation. Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, I was praying in my house about this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summons a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good you to come. Good to you that you of you to come. Now we are all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Isn't this interesting? God has given you a message for me. Amen. Here he is, a believer. How much more of a believer can you get than Cornelius? But yet there's a message from God through these men is coming to him that he must receive. Amen. We have the word of God. Amen. It's more than just a mental thought process of knowing God. God has a plan of action that you must follow for salvation. Because up to this point, he was not saved yet.
Right.
Amen? He was not in the kingdom. He longed to be. He desired to be. He was praying to be there. But yet he had not been granted salvation. Because he had not obeyed what these men had said yet. So what an opportunity Peter had. He had a great opportunity. The house full of hungry-hearted, faith-filled people. He had all his friends and his family members. He had a house full. They didn't really say how many was there, but there was a few. And everybody assembled there was expecting really great things to happen. I mean, this was it. This was what they had been praying, fasting, believing God for. They knew, man, this is what we want. Wouldn't it be great to find somebody like that? A house full of people hungry to receive the word of God. And when Peter beheld the sight before him, he blurted out in Acts 10, 34 through 35, in the New Living Translation, he says, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. There's the key. You want to have acceptance with God, fear him, and do what's right.
That's right.
Amen. Have an undying respect for God and his righteousness. And you can have this magnificent experience in your life. The gospel holds the answers for every honest-hearted person, regardless of race, background, education, or social standings. God levels the playing field. Amen. He don't care how religious you are.
Right.
He don't care where you're at socially, economically, spiritually. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, and I'm going to go a step further. If you're not going to a church that preaches the gospel.
Right.
I'm here to tell somebody tonight. If you're not preaching it, where you're at, there's an old saying in the world out there that you're known by who you associate with. You become like who you're associated with. They've told prisoners at a spiritual advisor friend of mine that had spent time in prison, and God rescued him, and he came back into the church and was living for God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And his advice to other prisoners: when you get out of prison, watch who you associate with.
That's right.
Because you become guilty by association.
Yes.
Well, you were there.
Yeah.
Ding. Now you're back in. That's what happens in the spirit world as well.
Right.
Yes.
The ones you listen to, the ones you hang around with, the ones you watch, everything, you're going to end up in Sodom.
Right. Right.
Pitch your tent towards Sodom. Pitch your tent towards Sodom. Where did he end up?
Right.
In Sodom. It's a principle in the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
Amen. So stay away from those that don't preach the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Find you a church that preaches the gospel and get yourself into the house of God. Amen. We need to hear the truth. Amen. This thing is difficult enough being in the truth.
Yeah.
I'm just being plain. Amen. We all have struggles and fights that we go through, and wars and battles that we're in daily. And if we're not in the spirit, our flesh gets weary. And sometimes we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. And that's when the devil comes in and he tries to get us off track. And he tries to get our minds where they shouldn't be. And then we get swept out of the kingdom. Amen. Stay in the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Stay in the truth. It's the same message to everyone. Amen. We must preach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. Don't let anything get in your way. Amen. If God's speaking to you to stop on the corner where that man's holding the sign, you know, that's not my custom to do that. You know, I'm not. But if God's speaking to you at that moment, stop and say this to that person. You better stop and get out of that car and tell that person. Amen. Don't let anything hinder you from reaching somebody that Jesus Christ is trying to show mercy to, show grace to. He's using you as a tool. Acts 11, 15 through 17, the New Living Translation. It says, as I began to speak, Peter continued, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in the way of God, in God's way? Amen. Who was I to stand in God's way? Amen. Thank God for the wisdom of Peter. Amen. To allow the Lord to speak to him in this manner. That was a big adjustment. I don't know what kind of background you may have, but amen. So many times men and women get offended when you speak truth like this to them, and they can't go any further than that offense. Oh, that our family would never do that. Stop right there. I don't want any more of this. But thank God for a man of God that when this was brought into his attention, that he did not do that. He allowed the Holy Ghost to lead him and show him. It took us several times, that cloth coming down, to get his mind made up. Hey, this is not just, this is real. God's trying to speak to me. Sometimes God has to knock on our door a couple times before we listen. Amen. Was that really God? Was that pizza I ate last night or something? No, I'm telling you, God's talking to us. God's speaking to us. Are we listening? Are we hearing what God is saying? God's saying, go talk to that person. I know you don't really like that type of person. They're a little meaner than you're used to, or they're out more louder than you're used to talking to. But I'm telling you, I have a word for them, and I want you to take it to them. Hallelujah. After the Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues, Peter insisted they be baptized. It wasn't an option. Amen. Baptism is not an option. Amen. Acts 10, 47 through 48, it says, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and in Jesus Christ. It wasn't in whatever. It wasn't a show It was a cleansing from sin. Amen. The only way sin can be cleansed is through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it must happen, because if not, sin is not removed or remitted. Words of forgiveness doesn't remit sins. The blood does. The only thing that brings the blood is the name of Jesus in water baptism. So we must go down in Jesus' name. Cornelius could have believed that the water baptism was not necessary, as he had already received the Holy Ghost. He could have believed that God could not have given him the Holy Ghost if he were not completely right with God. And the Holy Ghost is not given to anyone because a person is perfect or without flaw. We know that's not true. Nowhere in Scripture implies that one must be perfect to receive the Spirit. People always say, well, you know, if I come to church, the walls will fall down, you know. If I come into that church, you know, it'll just, the world will end. I always tell people, you can't get good. You know, they'll say, well, I got to go get me a dress, and I got to go get this, and I got to start doing this before I can come to church. No, you can't get good and then get God. You got to get God to become good. Amen. God is what makes us righteous. What my righteousness is filthy rags. It stinks. It's nasty. Anything I do, everything that I do that is righteous to God is like filthy rags. So it's not my righteousness that makes me nice and good. It's His righteousness. It's me allowing Him to shine in me. And in you allowing God to shine in you, that's what makes you righteous. Amen. So don't be haughty. Don't be puffed up. Don't get a big head and like you know everything. You have Christ in you. He's your hope. He's your strength. He's your way maker. Amen. Always rely upon His righteousness. Amen. Or we can become like Saul. Pride gets a hold of us and takes us down roads that we don't want to go. Humble ourselves. Allow His righteousness. Trust in His righteousness every day. There's only one salvation experience for all. Amen. I'm sorry, world. It's not whosoever, however you think. Amen. There's one gospel. There's one way that leadeth to righteousness. And that's through the plan that God gave the disciples to preach, the apostles. Amen. Peter upon this rock. You are the one I'm building this church upon. The word that you're going to preach. That's going to be the rock where it begins. And it's going to flow out from you. Ephesians 2:11 says, Therefore, NIV, therefore remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Amen. Now we understand our former state from the vantage point of our salvation. We look back with gratitude to Him. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad tonight that we know Jesus Christ? We once sat where they now sit. Amen. Hallelujah. As we once were, they are not aware of their lost state. You must always realize that when you're working with a sinner. They don't see it like you see it right now. So don't jam it down their throat. Amen. Don't give them your axe and your 238s. Amen. Remember where you were when somebody talked to you and you didn't see the truth. Love them. Reach to them gently and help them to see the truth and give them the truth that you were once afforded. Amen. Somebody took time with you. Somebody prayed and cared and sought the Lord and asked God, give me the right words to say. Give me right thing to do so that I can reach them. Open their eyes to see. That's what we need to pray. Amen. If your loved one is lost and cannot see, begin to pray, God, open their eyes to see the error of their ways. Amen. Pray that prayer. And God will. He will begin to open their eyes to see. When they read the scripture, they will begin to see things that they've never seen before. The scripture will pop out at them. We need to consider how God had to move on Peter to get him to go into the Gentiles' house. God's trying to get us to go. Go where we haven't gone before. Amen. I know you got loved ones and that's good. I want you to keep reaching them. I want you to keep talking to them. But go somewhere else. Go next door.
Right.
Amen. Go to that person you just really don't know. And say, can I tell you a little bit about Jesus? Whatever God speaks into your spirit at that time, do it. But go beyond, amen, where you've been. God wants to use you. And don't be afraid to speak to anybody because it's for everybody.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's stand. Keep praying for all of our visitors that we've been having. Amen. God's doing great things. Amen. Pray against things that would hinder the move of God in their life. Amen. These are vulnerable times. And when someone's coming to the Lord and they're trying to change their whole life. Amen. And the enemy can slip in and throw cogs in the wheel and just get them off track. But we can pray and we can seek God for them. If you don't see them at church, try to contact them. Send them a card. Send them a whatever. And just let them know you're praying for them. You're thinking about them. Amen. Even if they don't respond, keep trying. Amen. And let others know you're trying. So when they come back and say, hey, nobody reached out, you can say, yeah, they did.
Right.
Amen. God bless you. Have a good week.